Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And, excuse me, and welcome back. We, not that I wasn't ready to come on air. It's like I've mentioned, we've got this perpetual frog. Anyway, as we try to do the obligatories up front, this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And did you notice that we've actually changed our intro? And guess what? We've actually changed our back from break. So now we will be focused on helping you understand that we don't just need you to call during the show. That little short one-hour window, some hosts have three. There are 24 hours in the day. We want you to sit down and think, articulate, be concise, be succinct, and give us your question, give us your comments. And and as I've promised, that if you're going into a bevy of information and or so forth, we will call you and we will get into the details with you. Again, the real focus is the Constitution. And so what we're trying to do is we try to shine the light on how the Constitution has been violated, how it hasn't been followed, and so forth. And so what we need to do, actually, I need to come up with some marketing to at least provide everybody a little bit of insight regarding how Trump failed to really serve the Constitution when he could have. I still don't know, and just like I don't know Obama's heart, but based on his actions and deeds as president, before he was president, and even after president, all I see is he is walking on a path of evil. I believe Trump has done some things, self-serving, what have you, not necessarily, you know, the good person or the prophet that some people had, you know, made him out to be. But nevertheless, the measure of a man cannot be quantified during a snippet of time, during one's necessarily their tenure. And so, because a lot of times there are people, because there's a good chance that Trump might actually learn about Republic Review. He might actually learn about the Constitution and the messages that we have been giving you. And then at that point, he actually may actually become a proponent for preserving our Constitution and our liberty. But everybody talking about, you know, Trump creating a patriotic party, Trump creating a third party that is divisive. Just remember, parties are divisive in nature. And if the party that he creates does not basically come to being the Constitution Party, then he is walking down an evil path just as bad. Because it's not how whether we like the violations of the Constitution. We can't allow violations of the Constitution. Just because they seem to, you know, be good for us, be, you know, positive for this market, this sector of people, this demographic or what have you, it is all wrong. The government has no power to do any of those things. And so this is why we need to focus on the Constitution Party and the Constitution period, because if the Constitution Party is only focused on the Constitution and only focused on demanding the governments, all public servants, comply to their oath and they comply to the U.S. Constitution, then, hey, yours truly is in full support of the Constitution Party and everything that they represent, if that's what they represent. Anyway, you are listening to the only show, and the only show that gives you the academic evidence, but this is the only show that's going to actually provide you with the insights as to what we need to do in saving this republic, and more importantly, saving our liberties and our Constitution. If you haven't done so, we would ask, as all of you new listeners that have come on board, we ask that you reach out to your like-minded friends. Send emails, call them, or, you know, at the water cooler or what have you, say, hey, you need to check out Reclaiming the Republic on Red State Talk Radio. You can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Read these articles. The direction that the Reclaiming the Republic organization is going is the right direction. I challenge anybody to say otherwise. We are not focused. One of the things I want to do, and I'll probably do this Friday, is I will record my statement that I am going to give to, I believe, the legislators of Montana. And I want to share this, this recording, so that this recording can be used in every state house in basically opposing the convention of states, as states are being asked to consider taking time, wasting time in considering an amendment or two, or at least creating a boondoggle at the state's expense for, you know, creating an amendment as if an amendment or as if the Constitution is the problem. The Constitution is not the problem. We tell you this all the time. And this to me is the primary argument against the convention of states. So anyway, what we want to do is we kind of want to blaze forward because, from now on, for the next 4 years, Biden is going to open up his yap trap and he's going to say things. And I'm being very prejudiced here because I have yet to see anything or hear anything come from that man's mouth that gives me any reverence or any regard that this person understands his responsibility as a public servant. And a, you know, a servant of the Constitution. Don't forget that the number one constituent to every public servant is the Constitution. They are obligated to support that, which is why constitutionally it is demanded that they actually take the legal oath to say that they will support the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. So anyway, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for helping grow the show. What we do want to do is we want to kind of go forward into the inauguration address, but there are a few things that I do want to hit first. But again, I've mentioned Harry, right? I've mentioned this Harry from my childhood or from my, you know, my youth, my past. I hope Harry and some other progressives are listening, because I want them to understand the ramifications of what they did and what they supported. Again, I will point to the fact that the president's primary role is to ensure our protection as a nation, both of our intellectual property, of our security, our liberties, and so forth, are not being undermined. And what we will see, and the evidence will come forth, and I have all confidence in Trevor Lawton in providing me updates in exactly how the Communist Party is working directly with our government and against our Constitution, this government that Biden is going to institute. Not the government that the Constitution institutes, but Biden unconstitutionally will institute, because, hey, his predecessors have done that as well. So anyway, I want to make a statement, because I have seen people that have cut and pasted these pathetic messages regarding Biden is my president. And these are supposedly conservative people because they have this revere and respect for the office of the president. The office of the president is illegitimate when it is created either illegitimately or it acts illegitimately. And so the only way to fix this, and people do not understand this, that we do not stand at the whims of public servants. We must demand public servants comply to that Constitution. And when they fail to do so, they are to be held accountable with haste. Anyway, so I am planning on coming up with a Biden is not my president, and also state that Trump is not my president. My president conforms to the Constitution. as dictated, as their oath dictates, and so forth. So I'm going to create that little diatribe, that little, I'm going to articulate that type of message. You're more than welcome to copy and paste it. We're going to put it up on Reclaiming the Republic, just like these constitutional minutes. Now, I've not probably gone into a lot of details, but I'm going to create a page for the constitutional minutes so that everybody, state legislators and everybody, can start actually reading these constitutional minutes. And I'm going to break these down once a week, and I'm going to try to make them so that they're not really long, because you're talking to Mr. Run-On Sentence and Run-On Idea. And so I understand that keeping things, you know, to point and as, you know, on point and succinct as possible, well, that's important because we don't have a lot of time. So let me just move off of what I'm doing on the website, and let me just kind of give you some things to ponder. If you really want to understand how a person thinks, then you have to look at how they act and how they accuse others. Because when somebody looks at something, because they look at everything because they're in it for the money, they really believe that everybody's in it for the money. Well, we're in it for the promos, because even though these promos don't bring us any money, these promos help provide education, and they give me a break so I can get this frog out of my throat. And we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, and the bass is a little boomy on that. So, let me get back to what I was just saying. If you really want to understand how a person thinks, you have to look at how they act and how they project their judgments on you, others, and so forth, because this is really giving you the insight of exactly how they think. If, and I've said this, if you look at how a person acts during the death, you know, of a family member who has money, and there's this expectation that they're going to get some money, then they're usually the first one to point out, oh, you only care about the money, right? That means that that's all they care about. That is an underlying message that I only care about the money, and I'm going to make you feel guilty so that I can have more of it. If you start understanding how people act, then you can start understanding their prejudices and their views and how they apply these prejudices and views to you and to others and how they project these things. You don't necessarily have to understand, you know, the inner workings. You can just actually start seeing how a person behaves by their actions, by their statements. They give you, as far as I'm concerned, an indictment of how they have forged, you know, their personality. Just so you understand, this is actually, you know, a reality on insights, because the way people act and the way people judge others and so forth, that's really their essence. Very few people, now there are those that are really good at projecting and do not play their hands. These people are usually very intelligent and very manipulative. And I'll give you a great example. Bill Clinton is one of those people. He has the ability to keep you off the track and keep you focused on, you know, what is, you know, things that he wants you to perceive and doesn't really show you what he's trying to do. I mean, the whole point, just look at that, you know, the salacious affair he had and how, you know, he lied and how he's this guy, just like Hollywood, there are very few that are such good actors that they can actually create a persona that gets you to believe in the lie. 9 times out of 10, when that person stands up during the reading of the will or what have you, you know, that judges other people from what they said, oh, you only care about the money. I mean, that person's not a very good actor. But when you look at Hollywood, and this is why the propaganda that spews out of these rock stars, these Hollywood actors and politicians, they are trained professional liars. And people actually take their word as if it's the truth. Remember what their living is. Their living is to lie. Anyway, so I just want you to understand that when we're moving forward with Biden and other politicians, look at how they try to project their thoughts, because they will actually, because Biden's not a good liar. As a matter of fact, he's not a very bright bulb. And even Obama was not a bright bulb in comparison to Clinton. I mean, Obama, you could actually see, and some of the things he said, how he projected, you could see what his intents are. Clinton, he was a slick willy. I mean, anyway, I hate to use those old adages, but anyway, let's move forward. And as we move forward into this new communist state, or the rebuilding of our communist government in America, I want you to understand communism and government in principle. Just keep these few things in mind. The communist paradigm is to control the means of production. And the communist paradigm, even though this is not stated, but it is implied, and we see this in the outcome, because not too many people would buy into communism if this plank was actually visible to them. Because most people, you know, they can get on board with controlling the means of production so that these people can't get richer than these people. Ah, but that's not the real essence, because that is the facade. That's the projection of communism, what they want you to think it is. But it is also the control of the means of consumption. Because as soon as things are limited, as soon as there's not enough to go around, because that's inevitable, then now they control the means of consumption. And they can dictate whether you can have one or not, or give you a ration. We actually implemented communism in America under FDR. Those ration cards and so forth, That's exactly what it was. Shutting down businesses, dictating what we were going to do and how this nation was to work. The greatest thing that happened in the last century to free America was for FDR to die. Moving on. You also need to understand a fundamental tenet of communism is all labor is equal. Now, I want you to think of what it takes to become a doctor, to become a rocket scientist, to become a janitor. What does it take to take into these very tight-niched technologies and so, such as bioengineering or biological sciences and technology, the biotech industry, and what it takes to start understanding some of those things? This is not something that just anybody can do. But communism and its tenet is that all labor is equal. So anyway, as we kind of start looking at what the Biden administration will dole out unto us and the tyranny and oppression that is coming, and mark my words, it is coming, then just take note and remember those three tenets, that communism wants to control the means of production and the means of consumption, as well as all labor is equal. And I will tell you that the day of nationalizing industries is probably very close. It's happened here in America for emergency purposes, and it will happen again because of claimed emergencies. The airline industry will go, oh, we can't make our money, and they will nationalize it, and then they will protect everybody's salaries. But guess what happens? Those investors will no longer be able to make the money because, you know, how can you make money off of a national company or a nationally controlled company? As a matter of fact, that becomes the oxymoron, and that happened under Obama. Obama took control of General Motors, and what did he do? He didn't remove them from the stock market. He basically subsidized them at your expense. He violated the Constitution. He violated bankruptcy laws. He violated so many different things in nationalizing, and so that the benefits for those bad players were actually protected. And the benefits for those good players who, you know, protected themselves with their investments in the company, the bondholders and so forth, they lost everything. Ask those people who held bonds in Chrysler. When Chrysler was just literally taken away and given to Fiat, and all the money that was held in those bonds on Chrysler just washed away. So don't tell me that we're not going to be looking at it, because it's happened, and it just happened in Obama's administration, just like it happened in FDR's. So nationalizing, it's going to happen, and how it happens, because, oh, well, it's going to be based on the COVID, right? Anyway, so here's some things to really think about. And oh, yeah, here's another thing. Before I actually get into Biden's address, please take note as to how Biden will surgically remove all of Trump's loyalists within government to renew the deep state, where Trump was not efficient. I mean, he did not do a good job in eliminating the deep state. He fought the deep state in D.C. every step of the way. He didn't go down into the depths of the deep state and actually have these departments, department heads and other people removed. He didn't go after the deep state. And why? Because they're protected. And in all honesty, I don't know if you can. The only way you can crush and get rid of the deep state is through Republic Review. We have to hold them accountable and trim away all the things that they have no constitutional power or authority to exercise. The many roles, responsibilities, and powers that they are exercising that are unconstitutional, cut those away, the deep state goes away. So when we start looking at it, then, and we start presenting this, we want you to understand that there are solutions. And the solutions, well, they only make sense as far as we're concerned. So anyway, let's go on to the inauguration address. So what is the new boss saying? If you've read the text, if you listened, it was a lot of crap. And there was a lot of subtext and there was a lot of sub-reference, but there wasn't anything direct. I mean, if Trump actually put some cards on the table and said, you know, like his State of the Union addresses, he kind of put the cards on the table and said, this is what we're going to do. But Biden doesn't want to tell us what he's really going to do. And so I want to give you two quotes out of what he said. And when we come back, that's when we're going to get into that. So anyway, what we will do is we'll get into his quotes and then we'll talk about what he is going to do. And so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what's the new boss saying? Remember, I played right after the election, I played that little Who song, Won't Get Fooled Again, Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss, because there's very little difference. The path into communism has not been disturbed or interrupted. Even though there may have been some good things or decent things done by Trump, the path and America is still on that path. So let's give you a few quotes of what Biden said today. Quote, "The cry for survival comes from the planet itself, a cry that can't be more desperate or any more clear. And now a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat." Now, to be honest, when we look at the real threat of North Korea under Trump's administration, the real threat of Iran, the real threat of China and what they're doing and the evil that China is getting away with, and his focus as far as what he considers the greatest threat America is facing is domestic terrorism, political extremism, white supremacy. What? What he is telling you is that he is politically focused on silencing and removing the opposition, those who support the Constitution, and those who wish and who assert to hold them accountable. His next quote, "We face an attack on our democracy and on truth, a raging virus, growing inequity, the sting of systemic racism, a climate in crisis, America's role in the world." He basically just repeated what he said. But what he's saying is that the opposition is really, what he is really saying, because he starts it off with, "We face an attack on our democracy and on truth." How much of a lie could this be? Folks, this man is misguiding, fear-mongering, and using demagoguery to point to the Constitution, and us holding him accountable to that document is the greatest threat the world and this nation will face. He points to the sting of systemic racism. Where? There is no evidence of that. And Larry Elders, who, you know, is also a prolific author, lawyer, and a talk show host, who I have great respect for, he is even calling out all of these people who are trying to incite this focus and fear-mongering regarding racism. Look at BLM. BLM itself is primarily white. Anyway, the third and final citation I want to give you, quote, is, quote, "And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness." And how is he going to do that? By becoming divisive and focusing on his political adversaries. This and the direction they're going was a very similar direction that John Adams took with the Alien and Sedition Acts. John Adams was starting to get frustrated. Even George Washington didn't like the attacks from the different factions out there for what they didn't like he was doing. But bottom line, you know, you don't go into the kitchen if you don't want to take the heat. Hey, that area, you're exposed to open flames and sharp knives, and it's a dangerous area of the house. Well, don't go in there if you don't want to be exposed. Fact of the matter is, you're going to get criticism. As a leader, you have to allow your critics to actually state everything that they need to, so that then you can, if you can, refute it, but if you can't, then you want to silence them. And this is the tendency. Oh, well, I can't allow these people to openly talk. I have to silence them. Folks, it is time we start getting serious. What we have to do is we have to start getting the message out that the Constitution provides us everything we need to hold these hacks, these shills, responsible and accountable. I've taught everybody this, and this is why we go through this on an annual basis. We go through the source documents and cover this content, because you need to understand that that only the Lord knew what we were going to be facing in these days. There's nobody that can refute this, that the framers had no idea how evil this nation and the world would become. I mean, they historically saw how evil the world was, but they did not understand the technology and the dangers and evil that man could put upon himself, or society could put upon mankind, in the controlling and subjugation of man, in controlling their thoughts, their behavior, their actions, by being able to monitor them. Look at what China is doing with their big brother system. these concepts and ideas have come to fruition, and we are living in the darkest days. And the framers looked at how great this Constitution was in being able to, you know, move forward in liberty. They had no clue what the Constitution possessed. They didn't understand this Article 4, Section, I think it's Section 2, regarding states being able to charge citizens of the state with treason. Nor did they understand the need of holding people accountable to their oath of office. They believed that most people would be, you know, held within the honor and decency because of the mores of society. They had no idea how far our mores would be, that we would become so godless. I mean, it was brought up in the North Carolina debates that we could actually have a Mohammedan president. Because America loses its way. We lose our moral compass. And so that's how we had Obama, who was a hybrid religious believer in both, supposedly, both Christianity and Islam. You can't have two masters, though. And so based on his actions and words, I will tell you that he was more of a Mohammedan than he was a Christian. But anywho, what we need to do is we need to start focusing the battle, focusing our efforts and fight on our state legislators. We need to change their world and rock their world the way DC has been rocked through the ages of the oppression of racism for the Civil Rights Acts and all of these other, you know, huge protests and campaigns that have been hitting DC. We need to take our efforts and focus them on our state legislators and demand that they address our petitions. And we need to do so as petitions, not protests. We need to actually go in force with a petition in hand and hand it over and claim to the world that we want to know why our county commissioners are failing to support their oath of office and the Constitution, and why our prosecuting attorneys in their counties, why our state legislators, everybody at the local level, we need to bring the heat. And I'm telling you, as we do so, we are going to start getting results, and we're going to be able to get rid of those who are actually the problem, because we need to start, and this is where our involvement in the party in developing and nurturing those people to take office, to actually become a public servant at the county level, at the state level, and so forth, and understanding who the main constituent is for a public servant. It's not the people. It's the Constitution. That's what that oath states, that you will support the Constitution without waiver. It doesn't say you'll support your, you know, those who voted for you or everybody in your district or area or what have you. No. We are obligated in supporting. This is why our presidents and every politician, we as patriots, do not seek people to, you know, to follow. We have a constitution to support and demand that they support it as well. That's what true patriots are in America. So anyway, one of the things that's already come out and one of the discussions that has already been stated regarding Biden and his actions against domestic terrorism and his fight against domestic threats, he has appointed Averill Haynes, who is Biden's nominee for the Director of National Intelligence. And Aidan Haynes has promised to work with federal law enforcement agencies in conducting these political probes. He didn't even go, I mean, here he wasn't using the word speak like Biden was, of domestic terrorists and extremism. He actually called it political probes. And there you go. This is a political war we are fighting. The Civil War is raging, and the only way we can fight it is from our state legislators. It's not with guns, my friends. It is not with violence. It is with the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so what else are we going to expect from this administration, or what is going to happen as a fallout of this communist presidency? Well, let's first kind of give a little clarity, because I've stated this before, but those of you who may not have heard this, because I don't say this all the time, but I do mention this, and I've mentioned this in the past. What do you call the Labor Party throughout the world? Well, the Labor Party is the Communist Party throughout the world, except in America. The Labor Party in America is the Democratic Party. And so underneath this huge Democratic takeover, this swing, and oh, by the way, like I said, I've done the numbers. And we actually witnessed in 2020, in the 2020 election, a red wave. So why is it and how is it that the federal seats all swung blue when the state legislatures turned redder? That doesn't make sense. So I'm just waiting for the FEC data to come out so that we can gather. And actually, what I may have to do is I may just go to each state and get the final outcomes for all of the different candidates so that we can come up with how many votes were cast in each county for each state legislator, because and representative specifically. You got to remember, senators only run every 4 years in most states. You know, each state probably differs. At least I believe they probably differ, because they don't have to abide by the same rules. But the Senate is actually a longer duration, just like in Congress. So every year, every 2 years, a representative has to defend their seat. And so that was defended and applied at the state level as well. This is how well the states mimicked the constitutional framework as they moved forward when they rewrote their constitutions and new states formed. So anyway, we're going to go count those numbers. And I'm going to bet you that there are far less votes for state legislators than there are for Congress, and there are far less votes for Congress than there are for president. So, I am here to tell you that this is the empirical data that we actually had voter fraud, that there is no way that people who vote ideologically for their state legislators do not fill out their entire ballot. I mean, people understand this war. It's got to be less than 1%. So when we see numbers in the tune of 10%, that, my friends, is voter fraud. It's the empirical data that you can't refute this, especially when you start looking at states that had over 100% of their voter registration number actually exceeded in voting participation. What was it, like 130% in Michigan? Are you kidding? How did that happen? That can't be considered a legitimate election. Anyway, the labor movement. Let's get back to the labor movement, because it will be in full swing under the control of the Labor Party here in America. Fast food workers in more than a dozen cities. This is breaking. This is going to happen soon. Fast food workers in more than a dozen cities across the country are preparing to go on strike. A group called Fight for $15, and a workers' union are calling for employees to strike. And so they're hoping to demand a minimum wage, and I think that that's going to happen either this Friday, and it's going to happen not just once. This is going to become a regular protest, a regular strike. I just want you to understand that they are going to move our economy down this concept that all labor is equal, down this concept that the control of production and the control of consumption must be held by government, not the market itself through supply and demand. The program and propaganda of small business PPP loans for COVID relief has already started. And this was granted under this last surge of the $600 insult that everybody received. Actually, the truth of the matter is, I've told you, that's all unconstitutional. The government does not have the power to throw money around like that. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows them to do these things. And again, these PPP loans are equally unconstitutional. But what are they doing? They're granting these PPP loans as either grants or what have you, but there are stipulations. Oh, you have to comply. Why is it that Trump allowed these types of things to even exist? Why did he do this? Because he was a populist. He was trying to meet the consensus of how people felt and what the people wanted, instead of saying, you know, folks, as much as I feel your pain, we have no power to do this. Oh, and by the way, states don't have any power to shut you down. And he should have taken action against these states and cities and all of these other government vestiges that were violating the Constitution. He had the power to do so. It was the one thing the unconstitutional Department of Justice might actually have a constitutional role. I'm just telling you that they do have an obligation to enforce the Constitution, and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is clear that any public servant who violates their oath is committing moral perjury and must be removed. Anyway, the other thing that I believe is going to be happening is I believe that there needs to be, or at least it will be silent in the mainstream media. And the interesting thing is that the conservative media, the conservative mainstream media, is bringing this up. But the funny thing is the narrative. Because Kamala, she's a communist and she sways towards Allah, is not qualified to serve as vice president. I've said this before. And so the conservative mainstream media, you'll read on Epoch Times and One American News and those types of things, and Fox, that, hey, you know, the mainstream media, or I should say the conservative mainstream media, is asking why she's not being challenged by the RNC. In other words, they want you to believe that there are only two sides. And I am here to tell you that the mainstream media only speaks of the Democrat and Republican Party because they are really one party working together to move America from away from the Constitution. This is why they don't mention the Constitution Party or any other third party. Because if they start mentioning third parties, then it forces them. We have to actually bring in these guys called the Constitution Party. This is why I want to see and I want to help the Constitution Party actually start leading in educating America. They need to be viewed as the solution to our political warfare, because we need to end this oppression and this tyranny that is destroying our Constitution, our liberty, and our republic. Anyone that wants to understand what is being said by and the narrative, just read MSN, AP, USA Today, and other media outlets. They themselves do not even mention. If you go and look at Kamala Harris being a legitimate vice president, the MSN, AP, Reuters, I'm sorry, USA Today, all the US Times, LA Times, all of the liberal rags out there are all asserting that she is a legitimate vice president and can be president. Anyone or organization who understands a natural-born citizen is not one who was simply born on our soil. Her parents were under the jurisdiction of another nation. Therefore, as she was born to her parents, the jurisdiction applied to her as well. And those protections from those foreign potents, or those foreign states, were applied to her as well. This is the same thing. Whether you're born here or not, you come here, a child does not, every child that is under the control of a parent until they become an adult, you have to come here as an adult where you have the age of accountability and can be held accountable by your nation who has jurisdiction over you, then you can apply for citizenship. But until then, you obtain the citizenship of your parent. And so if a parent then becomes a U.S. citizen, that child also has to naturalize. That has been the law for years. Well, until the activist judges wanted to obfuscate, because they knew they needed to get these foreigners access into our political system to undermine us. Because bottom line, they're all working together, the federal activist judges and the court system, I should say the court system, but all branches of the government are working together to undermine our Constitution. Some of these people don't even really understand how they're undermining our Constitution. With that, I just want to say, any Harry out there who cannot see and understand the alignment of totalitarianism and these monopolies that are protected by government and those who are not, then they need to start looking with a little bit more objectivity and recognizing what government is really doing in their heavy-handed tactics in supporting all manner of things. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we will be back, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.